Erev Tov, good evening, everyone, and thank you all very much for coming. Believe it or not, it feels like just a couple of days ago that we were gathering together to learn a little bit before Rosh Hashanah, and here we are, just less than 24 hours before Yom Kippur begins. Hopefully, we all feel good, we all feel ready. If you don't, still have 22 hours left, so plenty of time. Never too late. Okay, so I had intended to, or I intend to learn a little bit about the Siddur tonight, a little bit about the Machzor prepares for Yom Kippur. And believe it or not, similar to last week, for some reason I decided tonight to learn a little bit about a line that is not exclusive to the Yom Kippur Machzor. I opened the Yom Kippur Machzor again and I started preparing something, and then I decided, you know what? There's words in here that we say every single day that I'm not sure we pay close enough attention to or know what they mean, and maybe it's worthwhile to learn about those too. Especially because these words in particular we will be saying 10 times over the course of Yom Kippur. Or at least we'll be saying them 5 times and we'll be hearing them 5 times from the Chazan. So we will be hearing this, or we'll hear it 4 times from the Chazan. We'll hear it 9 times. Say it or hear it 9 times over the course of Yom Kippur. So these are words worthwhile understanding a little bit better, a little bit more deeply. And again, hopefully it will enhance our davening, not just on Yom Kippur, but all year long. The more we learn about the words that we say and what they mean, hopefully the more meaningful davening will be. So I want to start with a story from the Gemara. This is a story that, if I had to guess, probably some or many of you have heard before. It's possible I've even referenced it before in our learning. I don't know. But you'll see why I'm beginning with the story. I think it's important for a couple of reasons. This is a story from the Gemara in Brachos. If you want to follow along, it's all in Hebrew and Aramaic, but it's top of the page, the screen that I shared with you. This is a story that happened in Rabbi Chanina's shul a couple thousand years ago, long time ago. There was a chazan in Rabbi Chanina's shul. See, even back then, they were having problems with their chazanim. Too long, too short, too chazanish, not chazanish enough. I like this tune, I don't like this tune. Here was a different issue. The chazan in Rabbi Chanina's shul was saying Chazaras Hashatz. He was repeating Shmoneh Esrei. And of course, the words begin, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avosinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we begin describing Hashem using adjectives. So we say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. Kel, we're going to define those words shortly. Kel Elyon, Gomel, Chasadim Tovim, etc., etc. It's the first paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei. We've all said it before many times. Some of us just said it 5 minutes ago in Maariv. If you want to see what the words are, you can turn almost anywhere in the Seder. But for example, on page 98, that's from Shacharis, but it's the same words if you want to see exactly how they are written and translated. Anyway, this particular Chazan in Rabbi Chanina's shul changed the script a little. So the Gemara says, "Hahu denachis kamei Rabbi Chanina." There was a chazan who was davening before Rabbi Chanina. Va'amar, and he said, "Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, God who is great and mighty and awesome." But then he didn't stop there. Our Shmoneh Esrei continues onto a different description. But then he continued, "V'ha'adir, v'ha'azuz, v'ha'yarui, hechazak, v'ha'amitz, v'ha'vadai, v'ha'nichbad." The strong and the brave and the courageous and the fearful and the certain and the honored. He just started listing his own adjectives describing the greatness of Hashem. Presumably this person, he was inspired. He thought he was enhancing the davening. Hey, why should we just call God the great, mighty, and awesome and supreme God? Let's add in lots of other beautiful descriptions of his greatness. So Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara says, Himtin lo ad siyam, he waited until he finished. Kisiyam, and when this chazan finished his description, Amar lei, siyamtinu l'chul u'shvachei demarach. So Rabbi Chanina said to him, sarcastically, it's clear that the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Chanina is using sarcasm. He says, have you finished all of your praises of Hashem? Lamali kulei hai, why are you doing all this? Why are you adding all these extra words of praise? Anan, hani, tlasta, amrinan. For us, the three words that we use, hagadol, hagibor, v'hanora, great, mighty, and awesome, ilav de'amrinu Moshe Rabbeinu be'oraisa, if Moshe hadn't used those exact words in the Torah, v'asu anshei knesses hagadol v'taknino b'tfila, and the men of the Great Assembly hadn't come and established it as part of the text of Aresh Shemoneh Esrei, lo havinan yecholan lemeimar lahu, we would never even be able to utter those words. Who are we, human beings, limited by physical time and space, full of sin and shortcomings, to even approach Hashem, who's fundamentally different in every way, and begin praising him and describing him in ways that we can understand? It almost makes no sense. It's offensive. It's chutzpah. The only thing that allows us to even do so is because Moshe used these exact words, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the men of the Great Assembly, established them in the text of our Siddur. Okay, so once they give us these words and they say, give us permission to use them, so now we can use them. But to add on our own descriptions, and you're just going to go on and give your own descriptions? The Gemara says it gives us a mashal, a parable. Mashal, a melech basar adam. A parable, imagine a king of flesh and blood. A king who has all the riches in the world. Has treasuries full of gold and silver and jewels. Shayilo elef, alafim, dinare zav. Thousands and thousands of gold coins. And they praise him that he has a few silver coins. Halo ginaihulo, isn't that a disgrace to him? See, the Mefarshim on this Gemara point out that the mashal that the Gemara gives, it doesn't say the mashal is of a king who has millions of dollars, and I say he has thousands of dollars. Because that would be a difference in quantity, which is also maybe a problem. But it's not just a difference in quantity. The Gemara says it's like a king who has millions of gold coins, and I say he has some silver coins. It's offensive because it's a difference in quantity and it's a difference in quality and the fundamental definition of what it is. We can't describe Hashem at all. We have no words to describe. We can't fathom Hashem's existence. So to start to put it into our own words, how great Hashem is. Hashem, you're so nice. You're so strong. You're so mighty. It's a disgrace. It would be a chutzpah to try to describe in our own words who Hashem is. So what words can we use? What do we think when we daven? We use the words that were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu and by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. But Rabbi Chanina was very upset at this man who started ad-libbing and adding his own descriptions and said that that was inappropriate. Rav Soloveitchik explained similarly that's why Shemoneh Esrei that we say every day begins with the paragraph called Avos, the paragraph of our patriarchs. The opening words of Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that God is the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why do we need to mention that right away? Why is that the first thing we need to mention? Rav Soloveitchik said, because if we weren't descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then who would we even think we are to go daven to Hashem and to speak to him in first person, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. You know, imagine what would happen if somebody just off the street, some random guy would somehow push his way through and get into the office with the president and just start talking to him. Hey, how are you doing? I need some things from you. Thanks for what you did for me yesterday, but here's the new things I need. You'd be carried out. You'd put in jail. You'd be kicked out. It would be a disgrace. It would be a chutzpah. So who are we to just, rush into shul 2 minutes late and start all of a sudden listing our things we need from Hashem and talking to him as calling him you. So it would be chutzpah, except for the fact that this was something that was already done by Avram and by Yitzchak and by Yaakov and by passed down from parent to child, from father to son and from mother to daughter. And therefore, that gives us the permission. That's what gives us the allowance. That's what makes it a reasonable thing to do, to daven. So that's my first point for today, which is just to take a moment to think every time we begin davening that as much as we have a personal relationship with Hashem and so much of our davening every day in Yom Kippur is about our personal lives and actions and our personal relationship that we all must and do have with Hashem, but we're also part of something much bigger and much greater and something that goes back literally thousands of years, that our davening is our davening because it was established by Avram Avinu 4,000 years ago. When Avram davened to Hashem, the Gemara tells us, and then Yitzchak davened, then Yaakov davened, then we davened, and our davening is really, it's not that different than their davening. We don't use the same exact words. We might not have the same exact thing in mind, but our davening is their davening. If it wasn't their davening, we wouldn't be allowed to do it. So think about that. Just that gives a little bit more something worthwhile to consider. That our davening maybe is worth a lot more than we think it is sometimes. But what I want to focus on really for the rest of tonight, for the next 15 minutes or so, is the words in the Shemona Esrei that we do use. In other words, Rabbi Hanina got upset at this particular chazan because he threw in all these extra terms that we don't use because we don't have permission from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They weren't established as the text of our Siddur. By the way, I'll throw in a caveat that, of course, when we're asking for things and when we're thanking Hashem for specific things, we should absolutely personalize the tefillah and use our own words and use our own thoughts and say whatever we want. Hashem is right in front of us. Hashem is listening to us. If there's something in your life that you want, you can ask Hashem for it. You don't need anyone's permission. If there's something you want to say thank you to Hashem for, you should say thank you to him. You don't need anyone's permission. You don't need to use the words of the Siddur. Use your own words, your own feelings, your own text. But specifically when it comes to the praise section of Hashem, these opening brachos of the Shemona Esrei, we're praising who Hashem is. There it gets a little bit more complicated. Because then we're not talking about something he's done for me. We're talking about who he is. And when it comes to who God is, that's something that's a little bit more dangerous for us to begin writing on our own. So the words that we do use come from Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, what is the source for these words? It comes from from Parshas V'Eschanan. We read it just a couple months ago. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Jewish people. And maybe it's Parshas Akev, actually. Parshas Akev, I think. Ki Hashem, in the second source, Ki Hashem Elokei, this is Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokei Elokim. Hashem, your God, is the God of all gods, V'Adonai Adonim, and Master of all Masters. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. God who is great, mighty, and awesome. Asher lo yisapanim v'lo yikach shochar. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't take bribes. Can't bribe God on Yom Kippur. Hey Hashem, forgive me for all my sins, and I'll give some tzedakah to the shul. We'll take it, but that doesn't work for forgiveness on Yom Kippur. Forgiveness has to be sincere, genuine davening. Speak to Hashem. Don't bribe him. Be honest and talk. But those are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. Akel Agadol Gibor Venoran. Those are the words I want to focus on for today. I want to give you briefly, similar to what I did last week, different words, but four different suggestions as to what we can think about what these words. Again, the art scroll, how did the art scroll translate them as? The art scroll translated them as, just so we have a working definition, the great, mighty, and awesome God. Great, mighty, and awesome God. I don't know how to. It translates the words, but what do you think of when you think of the great God? Is there a pretty good God out there? God forbid. So what does great even mean? So let's try to define these words a little bit more precisely. And the reason I always try to give you multiple explanations is because maybe one will work for one of you and another for another of you. Or maybe one day you'll think of one and another day you'll think of another. But I'll try to present multiple different possibilities, things that we can think about as we say these words every single day and nine times over Yom Kippur. Hakel Hagadol Gibor Vanara. So let's start with the most, I guess maybe philosophical of them all, which is the Malbim. The Malbim on the I didn't put the Malbim on. Oops. Okay, I'll tell you what the Malbim says. The Malbim says, Hakel means God. Hagadol is a reference to God as the creator of the world. That God is the one who, Bereshis bara Elokim, God as the creator of the world, which is what we think about when we say that word. But in theory, it would be possible that there could have been a God who created the world and then let it be, and then let it continue. Like when a man creates when a person creates something, let's say a person builds a computer or builds a house. So the builder of that house builds it and then leaves. He goes on to build the next house. He doesn't come back every day to fix the house, to strengthen the house. He might, if you call him because something's broken, he might come and fix it, but he builds it and then moves on. But Hagibor, which we translated as strong, but translation is what it is. But the Malbim says Hagibor teaches us that Hashem didn't just create the world, but that Hashem is continually involved in the continuation and the existence and the recreation, if you will, of the world. This is like what we talked about on the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
or on the second day, depending on if you're inside or outside, on Rosh Hashanah. When we're talking about Mechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Bereishis, that Hashem is constantly, every day, always renewing creation. If for a moment he would cease to renew the creation, the world would no longer exist. Then Hashem is not like a builder who builds something and then goes on to the next thing. But Hashem is constantly connected and rebuilding and recreating the world and renewing the existence of the world. So Agadol, he created the world, Hagibor, that he's constantly recreating the world, but that's not enough because Hanora, which we translate as awesome, the Malbim says is what he refers to, Hashkacha Pratis. That Hashem is not only just daily, regularly, always, constantly involved in the building of the world, but he's also keenly aware and involved in the very little details of the world. And even the little people, one little person and what he chooses or what he or she chooses to do that day and what he or she accomplishes that day and the mitzvos and the sins and the Torah and the chesed that we all do. That Hashem is not just creating the world and recreating the world, but that he is attuned very closely and cares and involved in every little detail of every person's actions in this world. And each one of those things is amazing unto itself. And the fact that one of them exists does not mean at all that automatically the next one should exist. And it's something worthwhile to contemplate each one on its own. Hakel, this is God. Hagadol, who created the world. Hagibor, who continually sustains the world every single moment. Vehanorah, and is aware and involved and cares about every single little detail of the world. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. If we have to sum it up in one line, it's that Hashem cares about every single thing that we do. Every mitzvah that we do is a beautiful mitzvah that we will be rewarded for, and that is an amazing thing, and that fixes the world. And every sin that we do, unfortunately, is something that we need to fix, because it's something that's destructive and something that's harmful to us and to the world. And really trying to be serious, to take an accounting of the good things we've done and the bad things that we've done, and how we can make sure that next year we do more good and less bad. Because Hashem didn't just create the world and just hope for the best, but he's keenly aware of every single little detail that every single one of us do, for better and for worse. And when we say the word specifically, Vehanora, and that Hashem is awesome, that is something that we can think about, the Malbim teaches. Number two is Rabbeinu Bachaye says that, very, very short and to the point, but I share it for a specific reason. He says, Hakel hu habore, that Hashem is the creator of the world. And then we have these three descriptions for him, Hagadol, Hagibor, and Hanora. Gadol is Gadol bechesed. Gadol, which again, we literally, in Hebrew, we would translate as big or great. But it refers to the character trait of chesed, of kindness. One of the proofs or sources for that is the Tehillim in Perek Kuf Mem Hei, chapter 145, two sources below, where we say, Chanun v'rachum Hashem. See, taking us back to Ashrei, our favorite tefillah. Chanun v'rachum Hashem. God is gracious and compassionate. Erech apayim. He is patient. Ugdal chesed. And great in chesed. But this connection of this word, gdal chesed, is one of the sources for the fact that the word gadol is often associated with chesed. So gadol means Hashem is kind. Hashem does chesed to us. He's generous. He's patient. He goes above and beyond. Hagibor bedin, strength, is always a mark of justice, of boundaries, of rules, of restrictions. And we know Hashem is that as well. Hashem is the judge, and there are rules and there are consequences. But Vehanora, awesome, goes back to Rachamim, which is really very similar to Chesed. I'm not going to get now into the distinction of Chesed and Rachamim, but we'll assume they're basically the same thing. Rachamim is also love and compassion and mercy. So we describe Hashem as Gadol, Gibor, Vehanora. What we're saying in other words is Hashem of kindness and judgment and kindness. What does this remind you of? Does that strike a chord with anyone? Describing Hashem as kindness, judgment, and kindness. Is there somewhere else, somewhere that we're all familiar with in our davening, where we describe Hashem in a similar way? Someone's thinking it. Might not be completely obvious. No one?
The David Ori.
In what way?
the last line.
Well, they were talking about that, but they were really focused. So I'll give you. Let me comment on what Dan said by giving a little background. Also, we know that Hashem has various names, and the two most common ones are Hashem and Elohim or Elokeinu. And Hashem is always Hashem's name that is associated with kindness, and Elohim or Elokeinu is God's name of judgment. So Dan, at the end of the David, they were really solely focused on Hashem's kindness. Of Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'Amit Dibechav, Kaveh El Hashem. We're only using God's name of mercy and compassion there, saying that even that Hashem, have mercy on me. I'll try. I put my hopes in you again and again because I know you're compassionate. There's really not a mention there of judgment. Todd says the 10 attributes. Do you mean the 13 attributes? I'm going to assume Todd means the 13 attributes. Unless you mean the 13. Okay, the 13 attributes. But there also, we're pretty much just focused on Hashem's mercy. Kel Rachum V'chanun, it's all the merciful ones. Not really much of a mention. Oh, mic is broke. Okay. Not really much of a mention of justice or judgment. All right, I'll tell you. Any last guesses? So to me, the first thing I thought of was Shema. Because in Shema, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. God of mercy, Hashem. Elokeinu, God of judgment. But then Hashem again, that's mercy. Echad is all one. So we have two examples where we're acknowledging that Hashem has these two ways of interacting with the world. It's like Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem is our father, and Hashem is our king. Hashem loves us like a parent, but Hashem also sometimes has to judge us like a king. Kel Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Anora Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I think one thing we can think about as we say these words is that yes, Hashem is kind, and Hashem is also just, and justice comes along with certain rules and restrictions and expectations and consequences, but ultimately it's really all Hashem, Echad. It really is all from kindness. Like Rabbi Karr spoke about on Yom Kippur, even judgment is a form of kindness. We want judgment because we want reward for our mitzvos. We want satisfaction from our achievements. We wouldn't like it if everyone was just treated the same and with mercy and what we did didn't matter. We want what we do to matter. We want our lives to have meaning. We want our good things to have purpose. So even judgment is a form of kindness, but really even the judgment is sandwiched between kindness. Even the Elokeinu was sandwiched between Hashem and Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. Every time we mention justice, it's sandwiched within Hashem's love of a parent or greater than a parent. That we should remind ourselves, even on these difficult days of Yemei Adin, of days where we're more focused on justice and judgment, like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it's always sandwiched within the context of Hashem's love and Hashem's mercy. Okay, I'm going to mention one. I said I was going to do four, but I'm going to close it at three because it's getting late and I have a closing comment also. But quickly, I want to mention one Gemara that comments on these words as well. Because the Gemara says, listen to this. This is an amazing. I think this is an amazing war. So, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, appropriate for today, Gemara that discusses Yom Kippur. Lama nikra sheman anshei Knesses Hagadola. Why are the men of the Great Assembly called the anshei Knesses Hagadola? Why is that word Gadola? Why are they called the men of the Great Assembly? Shechziru atara liyoshna, because they returned, literally, they returned the crown. They returned the glory of the Jewish people to its proper place. Because Asa Moshe Amar Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanorah. Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanorah. Those four words that we've been discussing tonight. Asa Yirmiyah V'Amar, then Yirmiyah, Jeremiah, who witnessed the destruction, came and said, how can we refer to Hashem as the great, mighty, awesome God? Goyim Mekarkarin Behechalo. There are non-Jews who are destroying and disgracing the Beis HaMikdash. Ayeno Rosav, where is his awesomeness? Lo Amar Nora. he wasn't comfortable saying no ra anymore. Not that he didn't believe that God was capable, but he said Hashem is not revealing his awesomeness to the world. There's a disgrace happening. I'm not comfortable saying ha no ra anymore. Asa Daniel Amar. Then Daniel came and said, Goyim mishtabnim bevanav. There are non-Jews who are oppressing your children. Ayegvu rosav. Where is your might? Lo Amar Gibor. He didn't want to say Gibor anymore. We'll say Hakel Agadol. That's it. Hashem is not expressing or manifesting his strength in this world. His children are being oppressed by foreign nations. The Anshei Knesset Gadola came afterwards and said, no, you got it all wrong. Asu, Inhu, Amru, they came and they said, Adarabba. On the contrary, quite the opposite. Zuhi Gvuraso. This is his greatness. The fact that there are non-Jews that are dancing around in the base of Mikdash is part of Hashem's greatness. Shekoveh Shesitro, Shenosein Erech Apayim L'Rashayim. That he conquers his will, so to speak, and he's patient. He allows even the wicked people the free choice to choose to do the terrible things they do. Ve'elu heino rosav, and this is his awesomeness. Because if not for Hashem, that would have been it. If not for Hashem's awesomeness, they would have finished off the Jewish people many times over. They were destroying the base of Mikdash. They could have easily just wiped out the rest of the Jewish people. Why didn't they? They were crusading through Spain. There was a Holocaust. We were in Babylon. We were in Greece. We were in Persia so many times over and over again. Don't look at it and say, where's Hashem? Why are we suffering? Look at it and say, look at Hashem. It's a miracle beyond miracles that we're even still here thousands of years later after all we've been through. And they went and they reestablished the text as Akel Agadol Gibor Vanora. Absolutely, we should say all those words when we look back at history. Hashem in his full greatness and glory. Yes, there's more we dream of. There's more we daven for. But absolutely, we should say loudly and proudly, Akel Agadol Gibor Vanora. And they returned the glory of Hashem and the Bnei Israel to its proper place. So I conclude with these three suggestions. Every time we say these words, Akel Agadol Gibor Vanora. God, who we shouldn't just think who is great and who is mighty and who is awesome. Those words sometimes feel a little empty. I don't even know exactly what they mean. But remember what the Malbim taught us, that Hashem is the creator of the world, who continually sustains and recreates the world and really cares, knows, and is involved in every little detail of our lives. Everything we do, Hashem sees, every tiny little mitzvah. Sometimes you do a little mitzvah or a little chesed that nobody sees. And maybe sometimes in your mind, you're thinking, well, was that even worth it? Nobody saw me do it. You should know that Hashem saw you do it. And that's really all that matters. Hashem is attuned to every little detail of our lives. Remember what Rabbeinu Bachaye taught us? That Akel HaGadol Gibor Vanora teaches us that Hashem is chesed and the din, but back to chesed. That even Hashem's judgment is always sandwiched within the context of mercy and love of a parent, of a loving God, of Avinu, comes first before Malkeinu. That even the judgment comes from somebody who loves us like a parent. And remember what the Gemara explains this line, the history behind this line. The fascinating development where there were some of our greatest people, Yirmiyah and Daniel, wanted to stop saying parts of this line because of the terrible calamities and destruction that they witnessed. How could we call Hashem the mighty God? How could we call Hashem the awesome God if this is happening in the world? And the Anshei Knesset Gadol came and said, absolutely, that's an expression of Hashem's greatness. Everything is. The fact that Hashem allows the wicked people to do wickedness is because he doesn't control us like puppets. He gives us free will to do good or to do bad. And if they can do things that are so bad, then we can do things that are so good. And the fact that we continue to exist and survive and grow and strengthen despite all we've been through is a sign of his greatness. Hakel HaGadol Gibor VaNora, that is his strength. That is his awesomeness. We just daven that we should be able to witness even more expressions of Hashem's greatness and Hashem's awesomeness. And I want to just conclude with a final point. Final point, which is to look back at the original source of these words. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora, Moshe Rabbeinu says about Hashem, and in the very next pasuk, he says, Ose Mishpat Yasom VaManah. He makes sure to do justice for an orphan or for a widow. Ve'ohev Ger, Lasei Zolechem Simla. He loves a convert, and he provides for them food and clothing. Va'ahavtem Asager, and we too should love the convert. And the convert doesn't just mean someone who converts to Judaism, those people too, but also anybody who feels maybe a little bit out of place or different or new. We know what it's like to be strangers in a foreign land, and we should look for people who don't quite fit in. Orphans, widows, converts, people who might need a little pick-me-up, might need a little extra attention. And that's our responsibility. The Gemara says, every time that you find the Torah, and I'll just, without reading it inside, I'll mention what the Gemara says. Every time you find that the Torah mentions something about Hashem's greatness and might and strength, you always find right there something that describes Hashem's, so to speak, quote-unquote, humility, about how he cares about the, so to speak, little people. You know, someone who created the world, you would think maybe they're not so interested in one little orphan or one little convert or so one little person, one little poor person. But on the contrary, Hashem says, I create the world and I care about especially the people who need a little extra support. And that is certainly something for us to think about always and on Yom Kippur as well. When we try to also think beyond ourselves, to not just think of the people that come to mind most obviously, but to give a special attention like Hashem does, to think about the people in our lives. Maybe it's a widow, maybe it's an orphan, maybe it's a convert, maybe it's just somebody who's, and we all need, but especially somebody who needs a little extra support, a little extra love, maybe a phone call before Yom Kippur, maybe an invite for a yontif meal, maybe a visit, maybe it's some tzedakah, maybe some food, whatever it is that that person might need. Every time we think of somebody who needs a little extra attention, that is a form of emulating Hashem. Because the Torah says every time that we find a mention of Hashem's greatness in the Torah, it is coupled together with Hashem's humility and his care for every single person, big or small. And with that, I'm late for a little late for my next thing, so I got to run.